everyone, welcome to our podcast. My name's Izzy York. I am a contract supervisor at EG Carter.
Hi, my name's Louise and I'm an assistant surveyor at EG Carter. And today we're joined by our pre-construction director, Phil Barnes. So if you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you do.
Hi, thank you. I'm Phil, pre-construction director here at EG Carter. Worked here a long time, joined similar stages of my career to these two ladies, as a management trainee, 26 years ago.
Thank you. And what do you think it is that attracted you to the construction industry? And how did you end up applying for a role at Carter's?
Well, all those years ago, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, if the truth be told. And you're far too young to remember, I should imagine, but the Citizen was a paper, daily paper, in Gloucester at the time. And on one night of the week, there would be job adverts. And my mother suggested to me that it would be a good idea that I applied. And the rest is history.
And that's how you ended up applying.
Yeah, kind of that. I mean, I did go on to study some A-levels, but it didn't really work out for me. I was done.
Yeah.
I was done with full-time education, further education, and still didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I was labouring for a period on a construction site. And that was the connection, I guess. But at that time, construction to me was digging holes, laying bricks, that sort of thing, which was very much the image of the industry then. Very different today, I would say.
You did the management trainee scheme, didn't you?
And did you go down the surveying route?
Yes, I did. And I think, when I joined, I was interviewed by two team members at the time. Paul Jackson was the managing surveyor and Michael Carter for the second time. And when I joined the business, I spent 9 months or so out on site, on a building site. At the time, I really enjoyed it, but I don't think I really realised the relevance of that period until probably some years after that, but certainly not until I was in the office environment and able to relate to some of the a lot of what I observed when I was out on the building site at the time. But what I did learn quite quickly was that I like the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where the commercial bias came. I really like construction generally as an industry. And I really enjoyed my time on site. But it was the fascination with how you could turn bricks and mortar into a profitable business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think changed most in the construction industry since you started?
So much. Good and bad. Mm. Bad's not the right phrase, actually. Some of the change has been really, really good. And I think the image of the industry has changed over that period of time. And I think the number of new entrants to particularly to our business, I think we do this really well in enlightening candidates to what life in the construction industry can be. And it is not an apprenticeship in bricklaying and carpentry necessarily. There's so much more to it. And there's so much more to it because there's so much more effort needed today. And that is the most significant change of all, I would say, in how much effort is required in advance of starting the construction.
Yeah, like it's not just, I think people sometimes think you just see a building site and it's like, oh, you're there, but it's obviously a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And that's probably a lot what you do, I suppose, behind the scenes stuff, your team.
Yeah, I quite like the anonymity. I quite like to be anonymous. I the way, but there's as much time, if not more time, spent in procuring a project to be able to commence the work on site. But I think the work on site too, you know, the rules and regulations that we're governed by, which takes a lot of effort to unpick before we start.
Mm.
When we're constructing sites, drainage, for an example, as storm drainage, flood risk, those sorts of things, the effort that is needed to actually deliver that on site as well, some of the things that the two of you observe, I'm sure, on site, that nobody else sees. You know, that all happens, it's below ground, and the effort and the commitment needed to do
those
things.
Yeah, they just see a house, don't they? They think, oh,
really important, a home, you know, it's really, really important, a school, any building, whatever we're building, but there's a lot of actual construction activity as well that goes unseen, I would have.
Yeah, because I think even with groundworks, there's so much that goes on in the ground, but as soon as the foundations are in, it starts going up, you kind of completely forget all about that and what it's taken you to get to that point, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think the effort in reducing the amount of nuisance and inconvenience in the kind of the environments that we work in too goes unnoticed. If we cause inconvenience, that's noticed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the amount of effort that the team put into making sure that all of that heavy lifting in the ground doesn't mm-hmm. cause too much inconvenience, it's not really seen.
Yeah.
So obviously, having worked in the industry for so long and going from trainee to director and seeing these changes, who or what do you think has had the biggest influence on your career development?
When I joined here, when I moved into the office, Ash Baker, who I still work with today, being here for 12 years, and Ash wasn't alone. Then there were a number of team members that were 12 years or more mm-hmm. within the business, quite inspiring as a youngster. For me, Ash is now 38 years.
That's crazy.
As an individual within the business, he's had a significant influence on my career.
Yeah. From
a very early stage, and a lot of what I observed and learned from him, I've held close and kind of hopefully developed in some way. Pete Burrows is another, who's a fellow director here. I spent a huge amount of time working with him and learned a lot from him. But no, I'm singling out two there. There are so many.
I suppose you've met a lot of people on your journey.
Yeah. Within the business.
Yes.
Yeah. I've felt supported. I've felt empowered. I've felt really, you know, all of those things.
Did you always know that being a director was your ultimate goal? Like when you started all those young guys, did you think, that's what I want to be. I want to be a director, or did you not really?
Honestly, not in my wildest dreams back then. I didn't really know where the career was going to take me. To be honest. I felt that if I put the effort in and the commitment, that those around me would support me to have a career and a job for life. I felt that from a very early stage.
Yeah.
In terms of career progression, the business was a lot smaller back then, but I didn't really have ambitions to become a director.
Are there any times that you've ever doubted yourself, like in your journey of becoming a director, that you've thought, oh no, I can't do this, that's not me?
I think a bit of doubt and being given the space to make some mistakes is a really important part of the career journey, if you like. I think that after having spent some time in as a trainee, moving to become an assistant surveyor, it was around that time that I locked into the potential to become a senior surveyor. And that I guess was the first time that I felt like I had an objective.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there like a time when you thought, this is it now, that's what I want. I want to be a director. Was that when you became a senior surveyor, I suppose?
I think the first time I kind of had any ambition for career development was when I felt that becoming a senior surveyor was in my grasp.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't put a time on it. I guess I was in my early 20s thinking that if I could become a senior surveyor by the time I was 40, that would be amazing.
Mm.
But that was the industry back then, and it shifted quite quickly to allowing the opportunity for growth for younger team members to become to satisfy their ambition, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Apart from becoming a director, what has been your career highlights?
Lots of, but I think generally I feel very lucky that I wake up in the morning and I want to come to work, and I enjoy my job, but I really enjoy the people that I work with.
Yeah, I think that's important, isn't it, to have a good team around you. And
yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah. And to feel and to observe and see that others around me are being afforded the same kind of opportunity that I feel that I've had, and doing their work and mm-hmm. being able to support them when needed, when asked, and
yeah.
all those sorts of things. That's what I get the most. Yeah.
So obviously there's been lots of challenges on your journey from probably when you were a trainee up until now. What were the biggest ones that you faced, like on your journey to your position that you're in?
Biggest challenge, I think, and I mentioned the ambition became real to become a senior surveyor at a point in my career.
Yeah.
Then understanding what seniority looked like within this business, and I feel in many ways should look like in every mm. business, but unique to this was the ability to lead, to bring people along with you. And that turned from less to do with the technical competence of fulfilling the role of surveyor, and more to do with how you can interact with people. Manage people is a phrase that perhaps is used, but I'm not a big fan of that kind of phrase yeah. particularly. It's kind of the ability to manage without those around you feeling like they're being managed mm. was a real challenge.
Yeah.
But one that I'm doing okay with, but it remains a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, it's the biggest challenge, it's the people.
Especially when you've worked with them for so long, I suppose, and then you're essentially playing a different kind of role.
Yeah, like you've probably gone from being like, not friends, but you know what I mean? Like friends with someone, and now you're a director. Mm. Like that must be quite a challenge.
Just holds more responsibility, I suppose.
Yeah, responsibility is real, but I think friends is the right word.
Yeah.
Because we spend so much of our
time
together that I couldn't imagine working in an environment where I don't get along with people
yeah.
and want to spend time with them. But, you know, I think that the respect of each other's strengths and weaknesses and how we can work together is really key for me.
Mm-hmm.
The seniority, you know, it doesn't need to be a kind of a draconian, you must, you will, I'm the boss, and because that's certainly not,
yeah.
that wouldn't have motivated and inspired me.
Yeah.
That's not the experience I had working with, particularly the two individuals I mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's been my experience and how I'd like to go about
yeah, it. Yeah, that's what you want to move, like be yeah. like moving forward.
Yeah. But it's a learned experience, if you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So would you say there was a point where you realised you had to stop doing and start leading?
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. And I guess when I mentioned that the challenge was understanding that seniority and management and it was about leading.
Mm.
The ability to do that is kind of directly linked to your ability to let go.
Yeah.
And if I were to single one thing out, perhaps I should have answered this first time around, that is it. You know, as a bit of a control freak, the ability to let go, because we all have our own ways of doing things.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that just because a team member has a different way of getting to the outcome that it's wrong.
Yeah.
And kind of understanding that and wrapping my head around that was a real challenge at points.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I feel like as someone who was a trainee, you see it in other people as well, that they don't want to let go. But then also that is sometimes the only way
mm.
for people to learn, to
yeah.
let it go and let them then make the mistakes or seek the help that they need themselves.
Yeah.
Do you think that's been like quite a difficult transition to like, let go of things, like from obviously doing it yourself to then having like asking people to do things for you or like with you? Do you think that's
I mean it at points it was a real challenge, but we work with such great people
mm.
that the need for me to ask for team members to do things doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, because they just naturally,
they're often asking,
yeah,
you know, how can I help? What can I do? Or,
yeah.
And is that, you know, that's the way. And that's, you know, reflecting on that now, 10 mm. to 10 years ago, if I knew then what I kind of know now, it would have been a whole heap easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think there's any values you have personally that guide your decisions and leadership?
Any
any values you have personally?
Yeah, I think for me, a few things, I guess. Consistency, as in, you know, on film and on the same film every day. And I like to feel that that provides some reassurance to those around me that it doesn't matter what the issues of the day are, it's Phil.
Yeah, and you want people to be able to come to you and like be approachable, and no matter what the situation is, no matter what the problem is, like good, bad, whatever, you want them to be able to come and speak to Phil.
Yeah, absolutely. That door was open, that kind of analogy. I think tenacity, 110% effort always for me is a personal kind of value that I hold myself accountable for.
Yeah.
And to a degree, I you know, there is a degree of expectation of others around me with that too, but it's not demanded of them. Mm. Like I say, with finger pointing and kind of daily tasks with hard deadlines and stuff, but it's not necessarily that. So yeah, I'd probably say those things. Honesty, integrity, really important.
What do you think it is? I suppose it kind of links in a little bit. What do you think it is about Carter's management trainee program that makes it so successful? Put you on the spot now.
No, not at all. I genuinely feel that's what makes this business great.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer of, I think the trainees are...
Most people you speak to have started off as a management trainee.
Yeah.
A lot of people within the business. And we grow our own.
Yeah.
And
the
business, it grows organically with the team members that grow with it. And I mentioned when I was interviewed, the second part of that was with Mike Carter. And I had sweaty hands. I was nervous. all of those things. And today, Josh Carter, he leads by example. So it's led from the top, at the very top of this business. And there can be no doubt amongst any team members within the business value that the management trainee program is held within the business.
Mm-hmm.
The support, culture of the business, absolutely unparalleled, I'd like to think. And provide an opportunity to trainees that we don't expect to have the skills and the knowledge, because that's not where they're at. What I felt I was able to demonstrate, hopefully, was that the commitment, 110%, desire and the motivation, and the skills come then.
Yeah.
You know, you acquire the skills with the experience, and that's what this business allows.
No. And what advice would you give to a trainee starting their career in construction?
Do it.
Simple as.
Yeah. And kind of just to repeat myself, what I just said, really, if you show the desire, will, the commitment, we will match that as a business in support and career development. And, you know, there aren't limits to your ambition if you show the commitment.
Yeah. What do you think you did differently as a trainee to stand out?
I don't think I stood out, really. I think that I'd like to think that I delivered on some of those things. I'm repeating myself.
Yeah.
You know, that I felt that there were some very highly experienced team members that are still in this business today that were there then, that were prepared to invest in me. And I felt inspired and I felt hugely motivated to give everything I had to be able to be valuable to them.
Yeah.
You know, because certainly in the early stages of your career, effort is really important because, you know, you don't have the skills. So the effort and the willingness to learn, I think that's what stood me in good stead for the career path, really. Mm.
Yeah, and I guess going above and beyond is the kind of thing that does make a difference when, like you say, you don't have the skills and the knowledge at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to learn. I think that's important. Like at Carter's, I feel like you have to want to learn. Do you know what I mean? Like it's important, I think.
And the mentors, the more senior members of the business that are investing their time and their effort because they want to,
mm-hmm.
and their desire to do so is like huge. If the team around them are willing to learn, you know, no question's a silly question. That's a mantra of mine.
Yeah.
And I sensed at points that I was irritating people around me, barrage of questions every single day. Is this kid not shut up? You know, sometimes I'll leave the place.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad thing.
No. You wanted to learn. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now in your current position, how do you continue to learn and to grow as a director?
How do I learn and grow? Well, leadership is leadership can be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making that sound like I'm saying it from a position of experience. I'm still on that journey.
Yeah.
And the importance of knowing colleagues, team members that you work with, getting to know them, you know, actually getting to know them, and then being able to relate to pressure points in the day that might occur, that might feel like they're work-based. Maybe they're not. It's to be able to lead effectively, you need to know those. I find leadership challenge, but I've also found it really quite rewarding.
Mm.
And got a long way to go. Yeah.
Do you have any like current career goals, or you? I suppose everyone's learning every day, aren't they? But as your position right now, do you have any like career goals in mind?
Yeah, so a few, I guess, and they kind of align, I think.
Yeah.
That Ash Baker mentioned, he's worked here for 38 years, and who knows how long he would have worked here at the time that he to retire. But I was younger joining this business than he was when he joined. Maybe I'm in with a shot for being the longest serving employee here.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Mary.
Yeah. Mary.
Okay.
We do have a cleaner called Mary who's been here for
44 years.
44 years. So hopefully not be that.
Yeah. Can but try. To retire and to leave the industry and be able to say that I only ever worked for E.G. Carter.
Yeah.
Would be.
That sort of ties into my last question. This is my favourite question, I think. What legacy do you hope to leave as a leader when you finally decide you've had enough and you're going to retire or whatever? What do you hope that you'll leave, like a legacy you'll leave as a leader?
I'd like to think that I've played a significant part in the business achieving 100 years of trading.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what the business looks like in 20 years from now? And I'd like to think that those that I've worked with for all of those years, once I've left, when that is, that there will be moments in the day when they think, "They'll do." That's what motivates me. People. It's all about the people.
What would Phil do?
Oh, we're not going to do that. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's everything from us.
Okay.
So thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time, Phil.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.